Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Any Stupid Questions, the podcast that lets experts explain their specialist subjects while three comedians get in the way. I am Danielle Ward, and joining me to explain how councils work is Tim Rocker, a member for the Harrow Road Ward on Westminster City Council, where he's also the Shadow Cabinet Member for Education and Economic Development. Hello.
Hello.
Is education and economic development the same category then?
They are in Westminster, so the portfolios get divvied up between councillors, and those two ended up together this year.
Lovely explanation. I'm also joined by comedians Kima Bob and Tin and Dueb. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
And no one listens to the end of podcasts, so if you've got anything to plug, I'm going to ask you now. So, Tiernan, anything to plug?
I do a weekly podcast about politics and comedy called Partly Political Broadcast that mainly stops me screaming at people in the park.
And you're also on tour with Frankie Boyle.
Oh, yeah, I'm supporting Frankie Boyle.
Tell people that as well.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah, if you want, yeah.
And Kima, have you got anything you want to plug?
Yeah, a little less cool. So I run a company. Yeah, that's right.
You run a company?
Yeah.
That's very cool.
I have events that showcase and platform women of colour and non-binary people of colour in comedy. It's called the Femmes of Colour Comedy Club, and we're going to Underbelly, and we're doing karaoke stuff, and you can find us on Facebook, and it's very fun, and I don't know what's happening.
Good plugs. Most people just go, with my Twitter handle. I'm very impressed. Tim, have you got anything you want to plug?
You know it was going to be my Twitter handle.
Oh, is it going to be? You can plug your Twitter
Tim Rocker 85, there we are.
So, local councils, this is my first question. Were you always obsessed with bin collection timetables, or is this something you've grown into?
I can't say I've ever been obsessed with it, but it does seem a number of people in the local area can sometimes be.
What are the bin collections like in Westminster?
They're absolutely excellent. They're weekly, and they're very, very good.
Wait, and weekly for all the bins or just weekly for some of the bins?
For all the bins.
Whoa. Yeah. How many bins are there?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that.
Tim, I feel like you've already let us down.
Weekly in the building?
Wherever you live.
Oh, is that enough?
For some people, not for others, apparently.
I live in Yorkshire now, and it's once a fortnight.
Controversial.
Ooh, intense.
Again, for all, but you don't get any week, because where I am, there's a really confusing thing.
This is
thing.
Already starting off to be the best episode of this.
I've got three different bins, which is already baffling. I think it was dry recycling, normal one, and then unwanted guests, I think, is that something like that. But then two of them go out every other week, and one of them goes out the every other.
Oh, that is... Yeah. What are you, how are you
and
meant
the best
to remember?
Thing is when you hear someone bringing their bin out, and you're like, you've got the wrong day. I win.
So how many people vote in local elections?
So generally the turnout can be around 30-35% in a good...
people.
In a good election, number of people. So I was elected by about 1,600 people. And there are about 7,000 electors, I think, in my ward, more or less.
Pretty good.
It's reasonable, but you're right. Not enough people know about their local councillors. Some have a very high profile if you do lots of work in the community. If you're on social media and you're responsive to people's questions and queries and you help them out, you're better known. Others are fairly unknown characters, I expect.
So a kind of Donald Trump-style approach to being in touch with the people.
I'm not sure anybody has a Donald Trump-style approach in local government, but...
I guess because the thing is, with an MP, you know what their job is. They are the person that is in charge of a constituency, and you go to them with your problems, and they represent you in Parliament. As a councillor, aren't there, like, loads of you? Who's the king of the council. I don't. I have no idea how councils work. Is the local MP your boss? I don't. How does it work?
Well, it's actually quite similar, just on a local level. So if you think that your MP represents your concerns to the national government, your local councillor represents your concerns to the council. There is a, I guess you could say there is a head councillor in the way that there is a leader of the council that councillors together have chosen, and they're in charge of the council as a whole. But in terms of who we answer to, that's theoretically at the ballot box voters when you decide to either vote for us again or kick us out.
And you decide as a council who is the leader.
Yeah, so generally that tends to be the majority of councillors who are from one party will pick one of their councillors to be the leader of the council.
OK, so you're a Labour.
Yep.
So you're, who's the head of your...
So it's the Conservative leader of the council.
That has blown my mind.
I know.
How did that happen?
You're rubbing it in now. So we're a relatively small opposition group, but we got bigger last year in the local election.
Do you have to sit at the back of the room and sort of shout things from there?
It certainly feels like that sometimes, but no, we're on the side of the room, so it's a horseshoe. It's a horseshoe meeting room.
Jeez.
And where does the leader sit then? In the middle of the horseshoe?
At the front, towards one side.
Right.
Yeah.
Are there always 12 people on the council? I imagine it's like the Last Supper.
So there's 60 councillors in Westminster.
Okay.
Representing about 250,000 people, and it differs from council to council.
And you all have your patch. Within.
We all have our patch, and there's generally three councillors for each ward. It differs up and down the country, to be honest.
A patch?
Well, we call it a ward.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the distinct area that we represent, the collection of streets in my case.
So, like, a patch within
a sticking borough.
Yes. Although okay. We could get ourselves into pretty confusing territory
but
here.
But this is why we wanted to do one on councils, because I have no idea. It just seems so...
So if you think that Britain's a pretty bonkers place, local government's a good way to start. Okay. Because what it is it's... lots of layers of very confusing local government, which is probably not the best way to keep people informed as to what's going on. So you've got counties that are essentially medieval in their origin. Then you've got boroughs that are also originally from that time that have their own councils. So you might have two tiers. If you're from Nottinghamshire, you might have your local borough council.
Which I am. Well done.
So you'll tell me if I'm wrong on this one. You'll have your borough council and then you'll have your county council.
Yes.
In London, generally, you just have your borough councils. But then, of course, we've got Sadiq leading the London Authority.
And how do the borough councils and the county councils join up? Do they have different jobs that they look after? Or is it like a layer system?
They will have different jobs. I mean, different councils will have different jobs, but in a two-tiered system, like in Nottinghamshire, you might find that the borough council looks after collecting your bins, it might look after libraries, whereas the county council might be responsible for roads.
Cricket.
Might be responsible of... Cricket's pretty important in that part of the world, that is true.
I used to work for the licensing team at Camden Council, and we had to deal with everything from how late pubs could open also to like events. And we once had to reject an event because it was a parade where a person of diminutive stature wanted to attach a hoover to their penis. And we had to say that due to public indecency, we couldn't do it. So which bit of the council has to... Because that had to go through council levels. Somebody had to look at that and go... Nah.
So that'll have been probably a licensing committee made up of different councillors who consider those applications. And as you say, you get applications for some pretty weird and wonderful things, I think. I've not been on a licensing committee myself.
You are missing out on some very exciting stuff.
See, this is the thing. We just take it for granted that these things happen. Mm-hmm. And somebody somewhere has been elected by the people to decide whether someone is allowed to wear a hoover on their knob.
I just felt it was unfair because, it sounded like a really exciting event.
Mm.
And you couldn't see anything because there was a hoover attached.
Well,
so
exactly.
I'm sure it was a tough decision to make, okay?
Yeah, it did. It did take a couple of weeks to get an injection, so fair play.
Sounds tough.
Kima, do you have a question?
Yeah. Do you guys ever just get to, like, hang out, you know, lay your hair down and counsel together?
There aren't that many social events that we have as a council. There are a few every year, but we don't do that sort of thing.
Man, sounds like a pretty serious gig there.
You don't hang out with, like, councillors from other boroughs, other areas? There's not, like, an annual council,
you know what I mean?
Like bash?
Five-a-side or something? Is there, like, a Westminster versus...
ping-pong tournament?
There isn't. These are all ideas I should probably take back, I think.
Yeah, these all sound like good fun, you know, bonding.
Where does the council now get funding from? Because I know that council funding's been cut absolutely loads and is going to continue to be cut till 2020 and then you're going to have, like, nothing left. And then what have you got to do? Just sort of sell body parts, or what's how are you going to do that?
Yeah, it's really, really bad. The austerity that councils have faced, doesn't matter what political party, has been really horrendous. So most councils will probably have seen the amount of money they have reduced by 40 to 50% in the last 10 years. Where do we get our money from? Council tax is one of the sources. It's not as big as you might think. We get money from the government called Revenue Support Grant. Then we're almost like a funnel for money as well. So housing benefit is distributed through local councils. Money for schools comes from the government via local councils to your local school. Parking fees, there's all sorts of fees and fines that can come a council's way. So it's a real mixture, but they're facing a really difficult time.
So where will you get your money from? Because I read that councils are having to sell off quite a lot of buildings, and then you sort of wonder, are you guys going to be around in 3 years, or what are we going to have to do? Am I going to have to start filling in potholes myself? That's what I want to know. I don't know how to
Where's
do it.
Where's the money going?
So the government is cutting the amount of money it gives to local councils, which is a problem. I didn't mention business rates, actually, sorry, which was a big one that I should have mentioned.
But they've gone up.
They have.
In London, they've gone up an insane amount.
But local councils don't keep all their business rates. So Westminster probably takes in about £1 billion in business rates, but only keeps a fraction of that because the rest of that money is redistributed across the country.
Okay. Business rates. What's a business rate?
It's a tax on local businesses.
Okay, solid.
Yeah.
So you say council tax doesn't bring in that much money, but is council tax ring-fenced for your council? Is that literally the money that Westminster raises goes to Westminster?
That is
council?
True. The council tax does get kept by the local council. But as I say, it's only part of the money that you get. You can spend it on anything that you want, theoretically, but other things are hypothecated is the word. That means that they have to be spent on the thing the government gave you the money for.
Okay.
So if they give you a dedicated schools grant, that money has to go on schools.
You're in Westminster, does the House of Parliament pay business rates or council tax? And then who has to collect? Does Theresa May have to have that on a direct debit? Or how does that work?
So if Theresa May will be paying council tax at 10 Downing Street to Westminster Council, at least she should be.
Right.
I don't think Parliament pays business rates.
Oh, wow. So it's exempt.
Yeah. Well, it's not a shop.
It's not a business.
It should have a shop, though. It must have a gift
it's
shop.
Got a bar.
I bet it's got a gift
heavily
shop.
Heavily subsidised bar. It should have
a gift shop at Parliament.
Oh, there'll be a gift shop.
Apparently
it doesn't have a gift shop.
Unbelievable.
So when we talk about council tax, there's always that thing of, that's you pay your council tax, that's how you get your bins collected, that's how. But I also heard that does it pay for the police, the ambulance service, the fire service? Is that council tax or is that a different thing?
No, most of police money comes from government again, although they can raise some money locally that the council collects on behalf of the local police. It's called a precept. So you'll get your council tax bill and there'll be the money for the council. And then there's the top up that the police have asked for as well.
And that is on your actual bill? It's like a bit that the police...
Well, depending on how your local authority does it, you might see how the money's been spent or brought in. But you're right, council tax is only... Sorry, the bins is only part of what we spend our money on. So I think a few years ago there was some research, and talking in average terms across the country, of every pound that you pay in council tax, only 8 or 9 pence might be spent on the bins, for example, whereas 25, 26 pence might be spent on looking after vulnerable people in the community, so some of our older residents. Another 20 pence might be spent on looking after children, vulnerable children.
So social services sort of thing.
May I ask, how do you come up with these figures of what to ask people for, / why is my council tax so damn high?
Well, I think one of the problems in this country is that council tax doesn't seem to be working. So it's based on the value of your property. But the last time the valuations were done was in the 1990s. So Band A property in Westminster back in the 1990s was about 40 grand. But the most expensive band was £360,000. And of course, there are houses and flats in Westminster that are worth many, many millions. Mm-hmm. So it's a tax that doesn't work. That's the problem.
Why hasn't it been changed? Because you're right, it's ridiculous that it's basically like the poll tax now, which there were riots about, which was, everybody has to pay the same amount to provide for local services. And everybody went, we're not doing that. That means a rich person is paying the same as a poor person. But we are in that exact situation now.
Yeah. So governments have been really scared of revaluing property to make the tax work in that sense. And I just don't think it's very high up the political agenda. I mean, there's other things on our agenda at the moment.
A few other things going on at the moment.
So that's probably one reason. But we need to have a clear system as well. And I think the government is piloting now local authorities keeping more of the business rates they collect. But there's a fairness question there as well, because not everybody spending money on Oxford Street or on the High Street in Manchester is from Manchester or from Westminster. So is it right that those authorities keep all the money raised from the taxes collected on their businesses.
There's a lot of things that I'm very confused. I mean, it's sort of, I know it's been mentioned several times, but a lot of things where I'm very confused about is exactly what is it that you have to fund from our council tax, and then what is it that you need the funding for? Because I know that social care cuts are affecting the NHS, and because the NHS are having to take the hit, and police are having to take the hit on certain people with mental health issues. Also, you know, is it, it must all just, I mean, it's all going wrong, isn't it? It's all terrible. It's all just terrible.
That's not the note we want to finish on. I mean, you're right. Austerity is having a really bad effect. And councils are getting less money from the government to spend on these things like adult social care. And, you know, there are things like pay increases, which are absolutely right for carers that need to happen because they're not paid enough. But at the same time, that's even more money that councils are then having to pay, but they're not being funded by central government. So central government's raising wages, but not giving the money to replace it. So,
In which case, let me ask you a more positive. What's one of the nice things you get to do in the council? There must be something.
What makes you smile at work?
There's some nice gardens you get to. There must be some, like, a nice collage done by primary school kids you get to put on a wall.
I mean, the people who have the fun stuff to do in councils are the mayors, because they go and they open charity events and they attend, God knows, balls, what have you.
The ribbon cutting,
they get to do all that. And I think in Westminster, in a couple of places, the mayors are on a particular pedestal as well, because they get to meet very important people like the Queen.
But they're just ceremonial mayors. They're not proper mayors.
Yeah,
so, I mean, they're basically like a show dog. I apologise to any mayor.
Wow. They do have the wigs that look a bit like a dog's ears, don't they?
But it's odd because, again, it's so confusing. We have Sadiq Khan, we have Andy Burnham, we have actual mayors with actual jobs, and then you have the people in the robes who just wander around.
But then they look like actual mayors. Like, wait, Sadiq Khan should wear robes. Come on. Does he even have a big gold chain? Does Sadiq Khan have a big gold chain?
I don't think he gets a chain.
What?
I know.
That's ridiculous.
Is that for mayors or rappers?
Bit of both. Yeah, well, rappers. That's confusing, isn't it?
Mayors just with
a big
gold chain.
Flavor Flav clock round his neck. That's what you
want.
That
would be awesome, yeah.
Tim, can I ask you, how/why did you become a councillor?
Ooh, that's a very, very good question.
Did you always know, Tim?
From early child, I can't say that I did. I think there's something quite nice about representing the community that you live in. Sounds pretty corny, but it's quite nice. I mean, I've very rapidly discovered it's not a power trip, because there's very, very little power involved.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a power trip to me.
And it is enjoyable helping people out. And you get really diverse sort of questions and queries where you help residents. So housing is a really big one in London.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get residents who've got issues with being in overcrowded housing or where there's damp. And that's where you can call in environmental health at the council to make sure landlords are properly ensuring the properties they're renting out are decent for people. People can get very angry about things like one-way systems in their roads, that sort of thing, or youth clubs. Yeah. Youth clubs have been shutting down because of austerity, trying to find money to keep them open. Local government covers so much, and it's all very important, but unfortunately it sounds incredibly dull most of the time.
But do people come to you then with their problems? Because there's this whole sort of like, oh, my husband has been arrested, so I've gone to my local MP. But do they come to the councillor first? Are you a better port of call?
Well, no. An MP will always have higher profile. Yeah. And I think, frankly, people are more likely to take notice of their local MP. But we do have surgeries every week where residents can come to us with issues. And if it's an issue that's related to a service the council's providing, it makes more sense. Very often you get good working relationships between councillors and MPs, so they work on cases together, perhaps. I've got a very good local MP, Karen Buck, in North Westminster, who works incredibly hard, and she's got a lot of casework, so we work as a team together.
But you say it's not a power trip, but I'd have thought people care a lot more about, say, stuff that councils have to deal with than, you know, I think that sort of the average person on the street, who I'm just going to generalise horribly here, cares probably less about foreign aid than what happens with their bins, right? That sort of stuff's got to be more important to the average person.
Absolutely. So planning, which we haven't touched on, is a really big area, because you do have a view. Most people have a view on what's going to be built, whether their local pubs are disappearing too fast, what their high street looks like. So, yeah, local councils are involved in a lot of stuff that people do feel really strongly about.
Does that mean you're also on the front line for a lot of complaints? Like, do you get quite a lot of angry people all the time? Because I remember where my parents live, one of their local councillors got a silly amount of complaints because a postbox moved from one side of the road to the other. And that, I mean, that poor councillor had more letters of hate than I think...
You can get complaints. I'm lucky. I've only been a councillor for 3 years, so I'm still relatively new. Planning is a big one for people getting very angry about stuff, because then you get into neighbour-neighbour disputes. So, you know, when people are going to build an extension to their house and the neighbour's really annoyed about the blockage of sunlight, these sorts of things.
I was going to ask about this. So my husband, as he is now, his dad built a house in the back garden, and it took about 8 years because every time a bit got built, there'd be another planning hurdle. Mm. And it'd be all these planning regulations that he found very frustrating. Whose side are you on as the council? Because he's building a house. It's a new house for someone, but then someone else is moaning that they can't see the lake as well.
It's really difficult. I mean, each council will have its own plans and its own perspectives on things. So places like Kensington and Chelsea and Westminster have a problem with these huge basement developments that richer people perhaps do, and it causes a lot of building work and a lot of chaos to streets, so they have specific policies on that. And, you know, more rural areas will have policies around that. It is really controversial, and it ultimately involves councillors weighing up the arguments and then coming to a view based on the facts. But you can end up with some very, very unhappy people.
Can I just ask, so I've got like a million questions in my head, but this, I think this is the important one. Why aren't councils building more houses?
You mean more council houses?
Yes, more council houses, more social housing. Is this a local council issue? Is this a big government issue? Where does this
sit? It's a mixture of both. So, I mean, frankly, money is always an issue in these things in terms of bringing the money to do it. And in London, that becomes a bigger issue because land is very expensive, although lots of councils own land that they can develop as well. So money is a little bit of an issue. Ideology can come into it, whether some councils have got the motivation to actually, you know, get up and do something and build the houses that they need. So I think it's really good that we're starting to see local councils like Lewisham and others starting to build more council homes, but we're still well behind.
Is there a big problem, you know, from a council level, in the fact that sort of affordable housing isn't really affordable for anyone? Like, because all the kind of criteria for building affordable housing and building social housing are built around these numbers that no one can really afford.
Yeah,
anyway.
I mean, I think affordable housing as a term now is pretty useless. I don't think anybody...
It's cute.
...recognises it. Yeah, but I don't think anybody thinks it's actually affordable.
Mm. I used to have a joke about that when I did stand-up, where affordable housing in London just means somewhere the sheikh can keep his coat. yeah, because it's ridiculous. Like, no one can afford it. So what happens in London, if you live outside of London, and you might be aware of this, but you get these big housing developments, and a percentage of which is meant to be affordable housing, not even social housing, affordable housing. And then the developers decide that they're not going to honour that. Why aren't the council coming down on their arses more?
Yeah, absolutely. So some councils have been really weak. Westminster has. So you get big developments for hotels or what have you, where they're meant to build some affordable housing on site. And then if not, they're meant to make a contribution. And then they argue the toss over how much the contribution should be. And it's about councils having some backbone and putting their foot down and applying the policies that they supposedly have on how much developers should be paying.
But like you said, is it also to do with sort of government housing regulation? Like, does there need to be more regulations at a kind of governmental level?
There certainly has to be.
For councils to then have more backbone about it. You know, would that help?
Possibly, but there certainly has to be more money. I think that's a real issue. Because if you think now, say Westminster wanted to build more council housing, as it does, and it wants to regenerate a particular area of the city, the only way it leverages in money to do that is by building some other housing in partnership with a private developer very often, because it doesn't have the finance necessarily itself to build housing anymore, or not as much as it would like.
If you're enjoying Any Stupid Questions, you can follow us on Twitter at Any Stupid Qs, and it would be helpful if you rated and reviewed us wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you very much.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
How much does council politics reflect National Party politics? For example, are there very few Liberal Democrat councillors? And the ones that do exist, are they absolutely useless?
Well, I am going to be political because I'm Labour. So, yeah, you know, Labour's obviously the best. No. But, but there is, it does reflect party lines. And it's a shame, really, because I think you'd think local government would be the less controversial part of government.
Yeah.
There isn't a particularly conservative way to collect rubbish or particularly Labour way. But actually, with austerity now, because councils are having to face really difficult choices, I think local politics probably has become more political in a way that it wasn't before. And that's pretty depressing.
Did it used to be the thing, I could be wrong here, but I remember sort of with UKIP councils and things like that, councils were the level where people took a bit of a risk and they were like, this is what I'd like to vote for, but I know that I live in a safe MP seat, so I'm going to vote for this council. You know, is that, do you feel that's changed now then? Do you think, as you're saying, if it's got more political, people are now saying, no, these are the kind of parties that I actually want, you know, at all levels kind of thing? It's
So I think that, I think smaller parties, if they work very hard, have got a better chance of getting into a council because the turnout's so low. So I think, in fairness, places where UKIP won, which were, I think, areas of the South East, I can't remember, you know, Thanet and others, they got in because they worked very, very hard with some pretty dodgy ideas, I would say, in those areas. Mm. But, you know, whether Liberal Democrats reflect Liberal Democrats at the national stage, probably. And same with Labour and Conservatives.
Do people vote like that? Like, so I used to live in St Pancras and Holborn, so my MP, Keir Starmer. Safe Labour seat, but also I voted Keir Starmer. But then on a council level, I'm like, well, this is where, like you say, this is where I get to have a bit of fun. Do people actually do, I say a bit of fun, but I get to vote, what I'm saying is I get to vote Green. Do people do that? Is there like the, you know, their flagship politician? And then
I'm sure there'll be some stats on it, so I can only talk from experience when I've been to the election count, when the votes are being counted, and you do see some interesting choices that people are making when the counts are being tallied up. So you might have people who decide, you know, they do want a Labour and two Greens, because of course it's, you're electing three councillors, so you've got a bit of a bit of a choice there. Yeah. And some people like to mix it up. You get some people who will only vote for female candidates, or you get a mixture. So people do take more of a, not a liberty, that's the wrong word, but they're willing to experiment more.
And do you think it's also to do with how much people are aware of what you do? Because I met the Hammersmith councillor, one of the Labour councillors there, and they did like a really big conscious campaign to kind of let the local people in the area know that they were going to change things, they were going to do things different. No, but it sounded very impressive. But the main reason they seemed to get elected or change council from Conservative to Labour was because they went in and said, you need to know that voting for us is important.
Yeah.
And is that, I mean, do you think that that's not necessarily from yours, but is that missing in general from kind of, you're saying turnout's low?
Yeah.
Is that because not enough people have a clue what you do?
Well, that's probably part of the problem. We've just been discussing how complicated the whole thing is, to be honest. There is a problem with people not turning out in elections locally as much as they should do. Nationally, it's improving a little. But you're right, that's a really good example. Hammersmith and Fulham, and I can think of many others, where there are, and it'll happen with all parties, I don't want to say it's Labour, where there'll have been groups of people who are really committed, they wanted to get elected to the council, and for several years beforehand, they'll have been heavily involved in their community as volunteers, they'll form a local action group to do stuff about making sure that the public shutdown isn't turned into a betting shop, making sure the local park is, you know, properly cleaned or what have you. And people start to recognise that these are people who are getting involved and standing up for their community. And those people do tend to get elected after they put that hard work in. It does tend to get recognised.
Because it used to just be, I mean, I always thought of councillors as being the prestige position you have, you know, my example being, the only councillor that I recognised was the butcher from Coronation Street. He's a butcher for years on Coronation Street, and then he becomes a councillor on Coronation Street. This is all fictional, but because he's a local member of the community, quite a high-profile one, it's a thing that you do to make yourself a bit prestigious. But then those sorts of people probably don't work as hard as you, do they, Tim?
Oh, you're being very, very kind there. There are some really hard-working councillors, working far harder than me.
But there are probably some real lazy ones as well, right, who just take the stipend and then...
There will be, like in any walk of life, and the job is for voters to hold them to account. You know, are you hearing from them? Are they listening? Are they responding to your emails quick enough? I feel guilty about how quickly I respond to emails from residents. I use social media quite a lot, such as, you know, local Facebook groups or Twitter or whatever there is, because it's your job to go out and speak to people and hear what the issues are.
Do many councillors go on to become politicians? Because Stella Creasy was a councillor?
I think so.
A politician?
Yeah, I think so. There's a mixture. Many do, and then many don't. I think it's probably, I think it's quite good because I think it's given you some experience of local issues, and then you move on to the national stage.
Do you have all the same rituals with, like, council meeting? You know, like that, how Parliament always have to have the black rod banging on the door and all the mace thing and all that nonsense. Do you have that with council meetings? It must
At Westminster, we do have a mace that's brought in before the Lord Mayor walks in. Some councils will be more traditional than others. I think some councils still have prayers before the meeting starts.
Wow. How many councils sacrifice virgins? Is that still a thing? Was that ever a thing?
Data yet to be collected.
As a Westminster councillor, are you ever tempted to try and fuck with the MPs, like ordering roadworks outside? Do you order roadworks? Is that part of your job?
In Westminster, some of the roads are controlled by TfL and some are controlled by the local council.
Is there literally a map? And, like, it says... So do you go in and go, well, that's a TfL road, so we don't get to do that one, but this one's our road?
Well, yes, but, I mean, TfL look after the main roads.
The big roads.
Yeah, the big roads.
But if you blocked all the little roads leading to those main roads, then they wouldn't be able to get to them. And then you can hold them to ransom.
Do you have another question, Tina?
Oh, that was sort of it. No. I'm still curious about this ceremony. What are the procedures that you have to do as a councillor then? As you're saying that some people are full-time and you're not, what do you have to turn up to?
So you have to attend the council meetings, the meetings of the full council.
And how often are they?
I think there are six a year. And you can be disqualified as a councillor if you don't attend a requisite number of them. You generally get put on a scrutiny committee, which I mentioned before. The ceremonial side, I think it really differs and depends on the council that you're in. Westminster has quite a lot of ceremonial because it's a city and it's Westminster. Others might not have as much.
Do you have to go to all of the ceremonial things, though?
We tend to go to the stuff we're invited to.
You did a big smile there. Is it, like, good fun?
Westminster, we're really fortunate, so we have...
But loads of embassies. Do you go to any ambassador balls?
So the Lord Mayor certainly goes to things at local embassies, you know, and the Harrow Road, no.
Though, I used to work for the South Korean Embassy, or the Korean Embassy as it's called, and the North Korean Embassy was on Harrow Road, but quite far out.
Far out. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was like a four-bedroom house somewhere.
Yeah, we've got a number of embassies, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm sure they've got their own issues that they raise with the council. I mean, when Donald Trump was coming, when he was going to come, there was a lot of controversy in Westminster because he'd just done the ban on people from certain countries visiting the US. Mm-hmm. And there were a number of residents in Westminster who had backgrounds from those countries, mm-hmm. yet they were paying council tax in Westminster for services where we were going to be sorting out things for his visit, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem right. So Westminster residents do have to put up with an awful lot.
But they also have to pay far less in council tax than other places. I'm not saying that makes up for it. I'm not saying you go, well, look at our council tax bill.
I haven't paid as much towards Donald Trump having clean streets.
I mean, my friend Ben lives in Wandsworth and his council tax is really low and he said it's absolutely disgusting. Like, it's really low council tax, but Westminster, because you have so many tourists, they have to still do a lot of stuff. But in Wandsworth, he said it's like living in Mad Max or something. It's really awful.
We're going back onto council tax, but councils are now limited in how much they can increase council tax to 2% a year. And low council tax, I don't think I'm going to cover myself in glory here, but look, nobody wants high taxes. But at the same time, when taxes are too low, it's quite bad. And low taxes in Westminster are not something we should be proud of.
Yeah.
Westminster is a city that has got incredible wealth, but it's also got incredible poverty as well. So some of the worst child poverty in Britain is actually in the north of Westminster.
Really?
We have some of the poorest neighbourhoods in the country as well. And so I don't think it's something that we should be proud of, that we've got such low tax that we can't provide the services that we probably should be providing.
Can I ask, Tim, is it a full-time job being a councillor or do you have some sort of side hustle?
A side hustle. So I work full-time for a university, so that's my side hustle, I suppose. Yeah. So it's a mixture. I mean, you do get a number of people who are councillors who are retired, but it does involve a reasonably big time commitment. I'm very lucky. I serve with three councillors, two of which are retired, so there's a good balance in terms of the team.
Is it unpaid, then, being a councillor?
It differs. So if you're a county... most councillors get an allowance. So if you're a county councillor in Nottinghamshire, you'll get an allowance of perhaps £12,000 or £13,000. If you're a borough councillor, because the borough council does a bit less, that might be £3,000 or £4,000. And then if you do specific jobs on the council, so if you're the cabinet member for the environment, you'll get an additional allowance. And then the leader that I mentioned earlier will get a significant amount of money, and it is a full-time job for a leader, pretty much. So they might get £30,000 or £40,000.
But it isn't a full-time... See, again, this is the thing that I've never really understood. So it's kind of like, it's not like a voluntary job, but it's sort of like
but
a...
does it balance out by all the sort of cakes that you get to eat at all the different events so that you're not really paying for food?
I've not been logging the cakes or the biscuits, but I'm probably going to start. I mean, you're right. It's in this middle ground where we can't decide whether we want councillors to be... Full-time, committed. But then they get criticised for being full-time politicians.
Okay.
And we've got too many politicians, is some people's view.
About the positive of still experiencing life as a civilian, as a normie.
Yes.
As a muggle.
So you're elected, but you're not a politician, but you're not a civil servant, but you're not a volunteer. It's a... British council systems are...
Other countries, many local politicians are full-time. It's a mixture. And then there are councillors in this country who aren't paid at all at a different level, which is your parishes or your town councils, which deal with very small things. But you're right, it's a really confusing system. It's not clear where the responsibilities lie. And we can't make our minds up who should be doing it full-time or part-time.
You've definitely sold it to me.
I mean, how do you find time to be a councillor? Aren't you... So you're on five councils?
No.
Oh, no.
You get allocated committees. Okay. So I'm on a couple of committees at the council. So I'm on the planning committee and I'm on the education and economic development scrutiny committee, where we sort of challenge the councillor who's in charge of those issues about what he or she is doing on those areas.
Okay.
But no, I work full time. Westminster's quite good, and a lot of councils are quite good in terms of having their meetings in the evening. Other councils, they'll have them during the day, and people will have to take time off work if they're in work.
How much power do you have as a councillor?
So there's obviously less if you're in opposition.
Yeah. Is there? Because I thought the whole point about council... I mean, this is why I asked, because I thought councils, if you're a council that's majority Labour, then surely your council, even though you're opposition technically in terms of, you know, the party politics and national level.
So what I mean is we're in opposition in Westminster because the Conservatives control the council. There are a number of policies that we would like to have seen happen that they are not pursuing.
But you can... If you were a Labour council, somewhere, say you were saying Manchester, then you do have more power than the Conservatives in the area.
Yeah, and it can make a big difference. Manchester's a really good example, I think, of a city that since the bombing in 1996, the local council has worked really, really hard. And Manchester's done phenomenally well in the years afterwards. So, yes, you can have quite a lot of power. And I think councils have also got a role to just lead as well and be a voice in terms of attracting investment or standing up for local residents on issues. Hammersmith and Fulham, the local hospital, was a massive issue for residents in that area. But there's a fine line between power and influence as well. And I think councillors... A lot of what your local councillor will do, not the cabinet member for whatever, is to nag, cajole, moan to get what you want done.
We've got time for one more question each. Could be as stupid as you like.
What is the weirdest thing you've had to deal with as a councillor? Any like particularly weird disputes or anything that you can tell us about?
You know, I thought this might come up and I couldn't think of anything particularly weird. I'm sure other councillors have, but sometimes it's really small stuff. So hedgerows, for example, and people not cutting them back really annoy people. And you can have a conversation, and I have had a conversation for 3/4 of an hour with a resident who is really annoyed about their neighbour's hedgerow, and you finally get a word in edgeways, like, have you actually gone and spoken to your neighbour about it? And they won't have done. So I'm the one who ends up going around. So a lot of this stuff seems really trivial, but it dominates people's lives, or it's very important.
And how bad was the hedgerow, was it?
Yeah. But in fact, that's right. If I'd just moved somewhere, I wouldn't go and talk to my neighbour if I lived in London, because I'd be very scared of them, because neighbours can be scary. Same way, like, if there's any... Like, I lived in a flat in Brighton and there was really bad noise pollution upstairs, and I wouldn't go and talk to them because I was scared that they were going to hit me. So instead, I just made lots of complaints to the council.
Yeah, that's one way of dealing with it.
Do you not think that?
Oh, I think by and large, people are quite nice in London.
The other thing I was going to say about hedgerows is they are annoying if they grow long. Like, whose job is that? My next-door neighbour... I've spoken to him. His hedgerow's growing really long. Can I get you to cut his hedgerow? Are you allowed to do that?
I don't think I'm allowed to do that. Let's put it this way. I'm not going to do that.
If he won't cut his hedgerow and I'm not going to do it in case I get killed, could I give someone at the council some shears?
You're going to provide the shears for us to do
this.
I
will rent some shears for someone at the council in the position of authority to cut the hedgerow.
Okay.
Does that work?
Similarly, can you fill in potholes? Like, can you turn up with a bucket of tarmac?
If it's not been done, can
be
you
be like,
step
on one
in?
Of your evenings when you're doing council stuff, can you just be like, oh, okay, I'll do it tonight?
Potholes are a massive one, but I am not qualified to fill in potholes either.
What?
I know. What are we here for, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
I'm really enjoying this passion for hedgerows.
Well, it's annoying. They all hang and they creep all people who don't mow their lawns as well.
It's a big deal.
If the front garden's full of fridges.
I'm sorry, I live above a shop. I have no stake in this.
Kima.
You said that you get an allowance. Can you also be grounded?
Can we be grounded?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a really, really good question.
Mm. Is there a timeout?
There is a code of conduct for councillors, and we're expected to observe, you know, some
CCC.
Reasonable standards of behaviour. I'm not sure it would be termed as grounding, but councillors can be disqualified ultimately. I don't know enough about that, to be honest.
Intense.
My final question is, what are the best biscuits at the meetings?
Ooh. Well, custard creams are a weakness of mine.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. But there's nothing exotic, and the sandwiches are pretty lame as well at meetings.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, and when you finish a day's work to go to a meeting to have some pretty toe-curling sandwiches, it's not great.
How do they expect you to deal with hedgerows when you've had mediocre sandwiches?
How are you
what is going on?
With like a utility belt full of things to take care of stuff for your constituent. Are they called constituents if you're a councillor?
Yeah, I mean, you can say constituents. I tend to say residents, but yeah.
I'd call them my homies.
That would also work.
That's why you should run as a councillor.
Thank you. I feel like after this, I'm informed. I'm going to vote so much now.
Yeah.
Well, and you can only vote once.
Why? Well, that's what we've got time for. Thank you to Kima Bob, Tin and Duyeb, and Tim Rocker. Any Stupid Questions was devised and presented by me, Danielle Ward, and produced by Ed Morris for the internet.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.